This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross. Our next guest, Rivers Cuomo, is the lead singer, guitarist, and principal songwriter of the band Weezer. The group has a new album out called Ratitude. Here's the opening track. Weezer first got attention in the mid-90s, when the videos for their songs Undone, The Sweater Song, and Buddy Holly got a lot of airplay on MTV. The band has continued to record and perform, sometimes with long breaks in between. During that time, Rivers Cuomo has written many songs that never made it onto Weezer albums, but which he released as solo albums of home recordings. The stories behind those songs reveal a lot about his life and musical influences. He spent part of his childhood on an ashram and went back to Harvard to study music and literature after becoming a rock star. Terry spoke with Rivers Cuomo earlier this year and started by asking about one song in particular. Not one of Weezer's earliest hits, but a track from the group's follow-up album.
Weezer's first CD was a real success. The second CD, not so much. It was called Pinkerton, and it got slammed by some of the critics and didn't sell nearly as well as the first. But it has some great songs on it, and I want to play one of the songs from it, which I find really interesting. And you've spoken in the past about how this album was inspired in part by your love of Puccini and, you know, great romantic operas. And this is like a comic romantic song that's called Pink Triangle.
Mm.
And it's about falling in love with a woman who turns out to be a lesbian. And it's like you find that incredibly, you know, the character is singing in the song finds this like incredibly upsetting because he was sure they'd be able to get married. And there's a great line in it, like, everyone's a little queer. Why can't she be a little straight?
Yeah.
So is this song based at all on a relationship that you had, or is it just a character?
Most of the songs I write are just very directly from my life. I don't have a big imagination. Whenever I try to write from fantasy, it comes out sounding really fake. So I just pretty much write exactly what's happening to me most of the time. And so that's what this song is. I got to Harvard in 96, really happy to be there, and I saw a girl in class, and she was so beautiful and so cool, and I watched her over the weeks, and, you know, all kinds of fantasies started happening about getting married. And then one day she came to school with a button on her, it's actually on her backpack, not on her sleeve like in the lyrics. Sometimes they change a detail here or there, but that's not important. So it was on her backpack, and it was a button of a pink triangle, and I took that to mean that she was a lesbian, and I was crushed, and at the same time it seemed like really novel experience for me and confusing and interesting, and I went home and wrote a song about it. And then I found out after the album came out a year and a half later that she wasn't a lesbian at all. She just was showing support for gay rights or something.
Was it too late for you?
I was on to something else at that point, I'm sure.
That's really funny. Well, I'm glad you got a really terrific song out of it. So this is Pink Triangle from Weezer's second album, Pinkerton. When I'm stable. There was a period, and maybe you still feel like you're in this period, when you were struggling to figure out what kind of songs you wanted to write and what your best songwriting process was to come up with a decent song. So you started keeping a journal and experimenting with different approaches to writing songs. It sounds like a very analytical approach to something that for some songwriters is really very intuitive. Can you describe a little bit a couple of the different processes that you tried in songwriting?
Yeah, for a couple years there. Well, I've always been an analytical person, but for a couple years I just got really analytical in keeping track of every detail of the process of writing a song and intentionally varying individual elements to see what the result would be. But sometimes these experiments were indistinguishable from how any other rock person would write a song. For example, in mid-2000, my experiments evolved to the point where step one was take a pill of Ritalin. Step two was take 3 shots of tequila. Step three was go out in the backyard, sit down in a chair. Step four was close your eyes and imagine the song. And that's how I wrote Hash Pipe.
So should we hear some of the song that was the outcome of this experiment?
Yeah, sure. I think you'll hear it.
Okay, here it comes. One of my favorite songs on Alone 2 is a song called I Was Scared, which is about an event when you were a junior in high school and you were being bullied by jocks.
Yeah.
So tell us the story of what happened that led to this song.
Well, junior year of high school is when I figured out how to do my hair. And I was really into heavy metal at the time, and I had been experimenting with different kinds of mousse and gel and blow drying and scrunching and all these different techniques. And then one day I figured it out, and my hair just popped up, and I thought it looked amazing. But boy, the jocks didn't like it. And me and all my friends, of course, were wearing heavy metal type clothing to school, and we weren't necessarily the biggest guys, so we'd get pushed around all the time. And on one occasion, they made us an offer that if my brother would fight this one guy, David, they would, you know, that would be the one final fight, and then they would leave us alone after that. And so we put it all on him, and he said yes, he would do it. And the understanding was that the rest of us had to stay inside. Now, I knew very well that all the other guys, all our other enemies were going out there to surround him, and they did. But I stayed inside like a total coward, and I felt so guilty about that, like I'd betrayed my brother, and of course I had. I pretty much buried that in my unconscious mind for years, and then in 2003, 16 years later, I was doing some intensive meditation, and suddenly this tremendous feeling of guilt came up. And as soon as I got out of that meditation course, I ran to my guitar and wrote the song, I Was Scared.
That's a great song. Let's hear it. And here's Rivers Cuomo from his new CD, Alone 2, and he's doing all the parts on this.
Listen to me, I've got to clear the air. There's something I've held way down deep inside all these years. You always were a friend, you always trusted me. But now I must admit that I was not trustworthy. I let you down, I sold you out, I turned away as you fell onto the ground.
That's I Was Scared from Rivers Cuomo's new solo CD, Alone 2. There's a version of I Was Scared that's on the internet now, where you had basically held these open auditions through the internet to find a pianist and an a cappella group to accompany you performing I Was Scared. And it sounds terrific. I want you to talk about why you heard piano in your mind for this, because on the recording that we just heard from your album Alone 2, it's guitar based. So why did you also hear piano as an option for this? And along with that, why did you want to hold auditions on the internet? I guess that's kind of the larger question.
Well, I know growing up in middle school and in high school, I was very into classical music and classical singing, and then later even opera. And so I have this other side to me that's very into art music and Schubert and Schumann songs, and a lot of these are just piano vocal arrangements. I've never really gotten the chance to do that with Weezer, and now with YouTube, I can pretty much the world is available to me. I can put up a call for musicians, and I've gotten hundreds of replies, and I can just pick whichever one feels right to me. And in this case with I Was Scared, I heard it being something like a really aggressive Schumann song or something, not just a piano strumming chords like along to a pop song like My Day Is Coming or something, but somebody who could really shred. And because the chord progression's so simple, somebody who could come up with very intense variations to make it interesting over the course of 3.5 minutes. So this one girl replied who is a Juilliard student, and she's just a fantastic musician with all the technique and power, and I knew it was going to be great. And it was one of the most fun things I've ever done.
Well, I really like it. So here's a version of the song we just heard, I Was Scared, and Rivers Cuomo was singing lead. And tell me the name of the pianist who you found through the internet.
Her name is Sonia.
Okay, well, we'll keep it to that.
And, that's all I know.
And the name of the a cappella group accompanying you, who you also found through the internet?
These guys are part of the Dartmouth Airs, which is the male a cappella group at Dartmouth.
Well, here they are.
New Hampshire.
With Rivers Cuomo, and this is just from the internet.
Listen to me, I've got to clear the air. There's something I've held way down deep inside all these years. You always were a friend, you always trusted me. But now I must admit that I was not trustworthy. I let you down, I sold you out, I turned away as you fell onto the ground. Oh, I was scared.
That's Rivers Cuomo with a pianist and an a cappella group that he found through internet auditions. Now, you mentioned that you're not only interested in pop and rock, you're interested in classical music and art song and opera, and you studied classical composition at Harvard for a while before dropping out and then coming back as an English major and completing your degree. But you've said that you didn't really like the atonal music that was emphasized at Harvard. Give us a sense of the kind of music that you just weren't warming up to.
Well, at the time, this is 96, I was in my hardcore romantic phase. I was so in love with Puccini and Tchaikovsky, stuff like that. And I got to Harvard wanting to learn how to do that. And, of course, that music is not only 100 years old, but it was just completely out of style after the 20th century and everything that happened. But several years later, I got another music teacher, and I was in a different frame of mind, and I really came to love some of that 20th century music, Stravinsky and Bartok, and even Schoenberg, stuff like that. I got this great composition teacher who taught me private lessons from UCLA, and he actually, some of the homework assignments he gave me at that time, 2004, I integrated into a song on Weezer's latest album, the Red Album, called The Greatest Man That Ever Lived. At the end of that song, it's a 6-minute song, very epic, and at the end there's all this vocal counterpoint. He taught me how to do all that, and actually a lot of it is from a homework assignment he gave me.
What was the assignment?
I was learning how to write 3-part vocal counterpoint in the style of the 16th century. And as soon as the album was finished, I sent it to him. I knew he would be overjoyed to hear his influence on a modern rock record. You know, as a college professor in a somewhat obscure field, you might start to think, like, how relevant is this anymore? And he probably would have been overjoyed to hear that on the Weezer record. He was such an enthusiastic guy. And I was sad to learn that he passed away before he had a chance to hear the album.
I'm sorry to hear that. But yeah. We should listen to the track that you just mentioned. So we'll hear the end of it, where the choral music influence comes in.
My favorite Weezer song ever.
The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived from Weezer's latest, the Red
Greatest
Album.
Greatest Man That Ever Lived. It's,
sorry. That's
it's intentionally incorrect.
Oh, okay. Why?
Actually, it just sings better.
Well, I really want to thank you a lot for talking with us. It's been great to talk with you. Thank you, and I wish you continued good luck with your explorations in music.
Thank you very much, and I'm so excited to talk to you. This is great.
Oh, that means a lot to me. Thank you.
Rivers Cuomo speaking to Terry Gross earlier this year. His band Weezer has a new album out called Ratitude.